to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we'll hear from Pastor Chip Liu, message titled, What If? Now here is Pastor Chip.
Well, it is officially 2022, and I'm going to say that a number of times, and I'm probably going to stumble over it because just like it's hard to write it, it's just one of those tricky 2022 kind of things. And whether 21 was an amazing year for you, how many of you had an amazing year? Raise your hand. If it's 2021, was amazing. There's a few of you. Maybe it was a year you're happy to put behind you. I won't ask you to raise your hand about that. Maybe somewhere in between. Michael Bublé sings this. He says, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling, if you know the song, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. There, you know, there's just something about new dawns, right? There's something about new days, new years that provides just this kind of a reset, if you will, of whatever season that we have just walked through. How many of us are ready to say, yes, bring on the new year, right? Let's move on. Let's do something different than what we've done in 2021. Let's put that year to rest. And let's embrace new opportunities for a new year. Hallelujah. Bring it on, Lord, right? Well, you know what? Maybe that's what Isaiah was thinking when he wrote this in Isaiah 43, verses 18. Verse 18, he says, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing.
Amen.
Amen. To new things. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul says this. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then in Lamentations 3, verse 22, it says this, because of the Lord's great love. You thankful for the Lord's great love this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never, never, never fail. And here it is, verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You know, it's super easy for us, especially these past couple of years, to approach a new year simply saying, thank you, Lord, 2021 is O-V-E-R. Over, right? And we can rejoice in that for sure. That's the forgetting the former things that Isaiah speaks about. And that is the forgetting what is behind that Paul speaks of. So we can rejoice that God has seen us through into a new season or a new year, and that the previous year is now in the rear view mirror. Hallelujah. But you know what? If that is the entirety of the posture that we take as we approach a new year, as we approach 2022, like we survived 2021. I got the t-shirt. How many have the I Survived 21 t-shirts? If that is our approach, if that is our posture, we are missing out, friends. We're missing out on exploring and on seeking and looking to the Lord for what possibilities lie ahead. And that brings us to our message today. The title of our message today is What If? What if envisioning the possibilities for a new year? Everybody say, what if?
What if?
Come on, louder. Say, what if?
What if?
What if? There we go. Our scripture this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 1, and then we're going to dig a little bit further into that chapter, into the hall of faith. And if you're familiar with this scripture, you know all of the heroes that are mentioned there. And we're going to look at one in specific. But let's start by looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, one of my favorite scriptures. And it says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, it's interesting. The first two words of this scripture are what? They are now faith. Now faith. So what exactly is this thing that we call our faith? You know, someone might say to you, well, you know, you're a person of faith, so why don't you pray for the meal today? Or maybe you heard this in this past interesting year or two where someone says, well, you're a person of faith, so what does the Bible say about this? We had neighbors that asked us questions early in COVID. What does all this mean? You're a person of faith. What does all of that mean? Would you call yourself a person of faith? You call yourself a person of faith? What exactly does that mean? Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews, and believed to be the Apostle Paul, gives us a great definition as verse 1 continues. So back to Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And another version says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and assurance, or having confidence about what we do not see. So real faith, true faith, is founded and it's rooted, it's galvanized in the Word of God, the promises of God, the power of God. And it gives us confidence that our hope and our trust is not just wishful thinking, right? It's not just throwing out good vibes or wishing upon a star. It's not a fortune cookie faith, friends, right? Our faith, our confidence, our hope, our trust is established in the one true living God, the firm foundation, the rock of our salvation, the rock that cannot be moved, Jesus Christ. He is the one and only one that we can fully and completely put our faith and our trust and our confidence in for a new year. And then the writer goes on in the second part of this first verse. It says, faith is the assurance about what we do not see. So as a result of our faith, as a result of our hope and our trust and our confidence in Christ, it causes us to act. Our faith causes us to act. True faith causes us to have a response and to act. James 2:26 says this, faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. I don't know how many of you often read the Message translation, but it says it this way. Separate faith and works, and you get a corpse. Yikes. You get a corpse. We don't read a lot about corpses in the Bible, but separate faith and works, and you get a corpse. Now, to be clear, this scripture doesn't infer, of course, that we have to work for our salvation, right? Jesus paid it all, and we are grateful for that this morning. We celebrated that this morning in communion. But what it does tell us is that if we are to be a people of true faith, then that faith is then walked out in our actions. Our faith is walked out in our actions. Our faith is truly walked out when we don't have all the answers, when we don't have all the resources, when we don't have the ability to do what God has called us to do in our own strength and our own power. That's faith. Our faith is truly put into action when we step beyond ourselves and into the realm of the what if. What if we lived out our lives of faith in a greater way than ever before in 2022? What if? What if, listen to me, what if we didn't reserve the bandwidth of faith for only after we have exhausted every human ability to accomplish great things? Did you catch that? Do I need to read that again? What if we didn't reserve the bandwidth of our faith for only after we've exhausted every human ability to accomplish great things? What if those around us witnessed us walk in the same arena of trust and obedience that put Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph into the hall of faith that we're reading about today? What if the living, breathing, acting testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ was witnessed by the world seeing God do great things, impossible things well beyond ourselves as we trust fully in him. What if? So how can we intentionally, how can we purposefully, and how can we actively approach this new year, 2022, this new opportunity in a different way than maybe any other year before? How can you and I live in the zone of what if? What if God did, and then you fill in the blank. What if God? What if we created a space, take deliberate steps forward? What if we walk into an uncomfortable land of vulnerability and risk and take on the challenge of the what if? I want to share with you three what ifs for 2022. Three what ifs for 2022. The first what if is this: the preparation of the what if. The preparation of the what if. You know, dreams are interesting things, aren't they? How many of you have a lot of dreams? You're dreamers? You know, we often wake up and ask ourselves, where in the world did that dream come from? You know, you dreamed you ate the world's biggest pizza and you didn't gain any weight. That's a good dream. You dreamed you invented a time machine, but you hit the wrong button and it took you back to March 12, 2020. If you remember what happened on that day, not a great date. That's when we learned about this word COVID, right? That's not the day you would probably reset your time machine back to. Literally two nights ago, so I'm having this dream that I am in a teacup ride. You guys have been to Disneyland, you know there's like these teacup rides. So I'm telling you, it's crazy. So I'm in this teacup, but it's a dark teacup. It's like this evil teacup ride. So it's kind of a blend of Pirates of the Caribbean and the teacups, kind of maybe. So I'm in this teacup ride, but it's just me and all of the other teacups around me are like these evil looking Chucky elves that are just grinning at me and laughing at me and they're just evil looking things. And so my objective by the end of the ride was to try to rip as many of these elves or whatever you call them out of their teacups and throw them across the ride. This is literally a dream I had 48 hours ago. And so I couldn't reach any of them. The teacups didn't get close. And finally, one of the teacups got super close to me. And I finally grabbed the collar of that teacup, or of that elf. And I yanked him out of that teacup and threw him across the ride. And in the middle of that, I was awakened by my wife going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" as I ripped the covers right off of her. Where do these crazy dreams come from? Am I right? Yes, it's wouldn't be the first time she screamed, "What are you doing?" in the middle of the night. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I had a dream that I was gonna make a fortune. 10 or 11 years old, my parents are watching, I think, on the live stream, they've never heard this story. I had a dream that I was going to make a fortune. I hadn't even entered middle school yet, but I had no need to enter middle school or high school or college because my financial future was set. I was going to make a fortune. I've been revealed to in the middle of the night through a dream, a business plan that involved rabbits. Yes, bunny rabbits, just like little tiny rabbits. And I woke up in the middle of the night and thought, oh my goodness, no one in the world has ever thought of how I could use rabbits in this way to make my fortune. I'm quitting school tomorrow and I'm writing the business plan tomorrow and I'm set for life. And then I decided to go back to sleep. I went back to sleep. I woke up in the morning and I thought, oh wait, I had a dream about making a fortune with rabbits. But for the life of me, 46 years later, I can't remember what I was supposed to do with rabbits. If anybody starts a business plan with rabbits, I'm going to be talking to you because that was my dream that I forgot in the middle of the night. Dreams are crazy things. You know, I've also had dreams that woke me up in the night that became lyrics for worship songs. That became a vision for an Easter program that one of the churches that I was a part of enjoyed for several years. There are actually 21 recorded stories in the Bible of dreams that came in the night. 10 of the dreams alone are recorded in the book of Genesis. 6 dreams were dreams of kings. 1 dreamer was a woman, and 2 dreamers were people named Joseph, right? 2 Josephs had dreams in the night. But you know, not all dreams are birthed in the middle of the night while we're asleep. God often plants the seed of dreams or visions in broad daylight. In times of prayer, times of worship, or just being in communion with God, my place is mowing the lawn. My son does that now, but I've often heard from God, and God speaks to me while I'm doing those kinds of things. Or driving. You all have your place where sometimes in the quietness of your heart, God speaks to you, and he can give you a dream or a vision in the full light of day that will accomplish great things. But it will require great faith. But we must be paying attention, right? We must be listening for the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit, directing our steps towards something greater than ourselves. Genesis 17, verses 4 through 6 says this. It says, this is God talking to a 99-year-old Abram in broad daylight. Genesis 17, 4 says this, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Verse 6 says, "I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." And of course, throughout much of the Old Testament, we see the fulfillment, right, of God's promise to Abraham, and it's also recorded right here in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. By Abraham's faith, we see the establishment of many nations and one from which the Messiah would come. So how about that for a what if for Abraham? He became the agent of a God-sized dream. So I want you to take a second, and I want you to just look around this room. Go ahead, just look around. Everything you see here in this church is the result of someone's dream, right? Someone's had a vision for this place. Someone took a courageous embrace of a what if to buy this property, to build this building and a number of additions. Key leaders here at Portland Christian Center, some of them are still here today, and some of you may be in this service or watching on our live stream. Many are in heaven now, but they became agents of God-sized dreams that we get to enjoy today. Well, friends, it's our turn now. It's our turn. How can we now become agents of God-sized dreams in 2022? I want to share with you two keys to being agents of God-sized dreams. First key is this: turn down the noise. Turn down the noise. You know, I read an incredible story on Facebook recently, so you know it has to be true, about a Tibetan monk, and you'll see the picture of this guy on the screens here. He was recently discovered in the mountains of Nepal. It's an amazing story, really. He is now considered to be the oldest person in the world. Get this, 201 years old. 201 years old, wow. The story went on to say that they found him in a deep meditational trance, and they initially thought he was a mummy, but they then discovered vital signs and that he was actually alive, 201 years old. Can you believe that? And then, get this, among all of his belongings, as they looked through his things, they found a piece of paper in his hand with a note. And on that note it said, "Stop believing all the garbage you read on Facebook." Might have to explain that to one another. There is a lot of garbage, right? There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of misinformation. Some would call it fake news these days, right? From all kinds of sources. If you and I want to be agents of God-sized dreams in 2022, we will have to turn down the noise. Amen. What are we believing for in 22? Or maybe we should begin with a different question. What are we not going to believe in 2022? Well, once we have identified and turned down the noise of life, then we need to tune in. Everybody say, tune in. Tune in to the voice of God. Tune into the voice of God. Remember, communion with God is communication with God, and that means a two-way conversation. You know, a fervent prayer life involves not only daily times of thanking God and petitioning God for what you need, but also involves quieting ourselves in His presence, giving Him an opportunity to plant dreams and to plant visions, to plant what-ifs in our hearts. The Genesis 17, verse 3 says this. It says, Abram fell face down, and God said to him, you will be the father of many nations. So you see Abram in that moment, soon to be renamed Abraham. He falls face down in the presence of God. You can imagine that he's listening intently to the promise that he would be given. Becoming an agent of a God-sized dream involves quieting the noise, sometimes our own noise, right? And waiting and listening to the still, small voice of God. If we don't, we'll miss the what-ifs that God wants to speak into our lives for 2022. So we've talked about the preparation of the what-if, but let's take a moment. We're going to look now at the potential of the what-if. You know, history is filled with bold and daring and visionary and sometimes quite underwhelming people who decided to embrace very overwhelming what-ifs that just happened to change the world. You know them, people like Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla, Henry Ford, the Wright brothers, Martin Luther King Jr. They all had a dream. They all saw the what if. And some of them, as you know, put their lives on the line for their vision. And it paid off. And it paid off big time. And because they had a dream, we now have electricity. We have cars. We have flight. We have civil rights. And we have the Protestant church. And because Abraham believed the promise of God, because he was obedient, because he embraced the what-if dream that God had placed in his heart, he would be known as Father Abraham, the father of Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and ultimately in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Lion from the tribe of Judah. Abraham understood this. Listen closely, friends. Abraham understood that the greatest sacrifice that any generation can make is the fulfillment of a dream in the next generation. Let me read that again. The greatest sacrifice that any generation can make is the fulfillment of a dream in the next generation. What are we dreaming about today? What are we sacrificing today that will only be fulfilled, will only be realized in the next generation? What if Abraham would have not believed God's promise? What if Noah didn't heed the warning of a great flood and didn't build an ark? What if Moses had not led the Israelites out of bondage to the promised land? What if Jesus had rejected God's plan of salvation through him on the cross. Well, thank God they all responded sacrificially and obediently. Amen? Generations, countless generations have reaped the benefit of their obedience and their dream fulfilled. Our world would look very different today if they had not. You know, on a personal note, one of the greatest and one of the most fulfilling moments in my near 30 years of ministry was not seeing hundreds attend an event that I produced, and that is incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. It was not even seeing many come to Christ as a result of something that I had a hand in. No, as wonderful and as amazing and as powerful as those moments, and as they left an indelible and fulfilling memory and mark in my life, absolutely nothing compares to the moments in which I have witnessed my own children, the next generation, the now generation, discover their callings, find their own place and pathway in church and ministry, and run with it. Absolutely nothing will ever surpass the reward of witnessing the next generation take up the mantle of faith and become agents of their own God-sized dreams. There's a great place for an amen right there. There it is. That is the power, friends. That is the potential of the what if. So we've looked at the preparation and the potential now of the what if, but finally, we're going to close by looking briefly at what is the price of the what if. Zig Ziglar, you may have known this leader, he had a quote. He says, "The price of success is much lower than the price of failure." The price of success is much lower than the price of failure. The great Vince Lombardi, who was the legendary coach, you know him, of the Green Bay Packers, he says this: "The price of success is hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and the determination that whether we win or lose, we have applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand." Do you want to accomplish something great in 2022? Know it will cost you. For anything great to be accomplished, there is a good that must be put on the altar. For every great what if to be realized, there is an at what cost to be considered, to be measured. Muhammad Ali said this. He said, "I don't count my sit-ups. I only start counting when it starts hurting. When I feel pain, that's when I start counting, because that's when it really counts." Powerful quote. You know, the problem here is that we tend to stop counting before it starts hurting. Let me say that again. We tend to stop counting before it starts hurting. But if we want to be an agent of God-sized dreams, if we want to see the what-ifs become look what God has done moments in our lives, there will be a price to be paid. There is potential pain to be endured. There is always a sacrificial transaction in taking bold steps of faith with God. So go back to Genesis 22, five chapters down the road from God's conversation with Abraham, that he would become the father of many nations, that he would become the father of Isaac. Then what happens? God tests Abraham by telling him to sacrifice that very child, Isaac, as a burnt offering. Genesis 22:2 says, "Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.'" And if you know the story, Abraham obeyed the Lord. He bound up his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar. But thank God, just before he sacrificed him, the Lord stopped Abraham, and he provided a different sacrifice. If you know the story, he provided a ram that was caught in the bushes. You know, on a side note, have you ever imagined how that conversation between Abraham and Isaac went on the way home from that little adventure? Can you imagine Isaac? Dad, I promise to clean my room next time. Seriously, really, I'm going to. Is this because I forgot to take out the garbage last night? What's going on here? It must have been a tough and an awkward conversation between father and son. Do we want to be an agent of God-sized dreams in 2022? There is a price to be paid. There will be something good to be placed on the altar for the fulfillment of something greater. So, what's going to stop us? What's going to stop you and I from seeing God accomplish great things through us in 2022? Is it money? Is it time? Is it our limited imaginations to dream big what-if dreams? Well, I would suggest that none of those things are what's going to stop us. What's going to stop us is fear. The greatest factor, the greatest obstacle, the greatest hindrance to seeing God-sized dreams accomplished through us in 2022 is the fear factor. F-E-A-R, fear. You know, we can rest assured that as soon as God gives us a dream, as soon as he gives us a plan, a bold step towards something great, something bigger than ourselves, that the enemy will attempt to cripple us with fear, to stop us dead in our tracks from seeing God's good and perfect plans accomplished through our lives. You know that to be true. Fear. You know, God knew this, and that is why his word provides us with 365 scriptures, one for every day of this new year, on facing our fears. And just one of them is found in Psalm 34:4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Someone once said, don't be afraid of your fears. They're not there to scare you. They're there to let you know that something is worth it. Don't be afraid of your fears. They're not there to scare you. They're there to let you know that something is worth it. Will the fear factor win the day? Will it win the year and be the dead-end road to seeing God-sized dreams fulfilled through our lives in 2022? Or will the presence of fear serve to embolden us that our dreams are worth fighting for? Good. I'm going to ask the musicians to come at this time as we get ready to close. The Lord gave me a word last week, specifically as I was praying for someone, and I shared that word with that person this week. But I think it's also a word for all of us as we face this new year, as we face 2022. And here's the word. It's not on the screens, so I'll speak slowly. The uniqueness of what you can contribute to the season ahead far outweighs the inadequacies that you may believe you have to succeed in them. The uniqueness of what you can contribute to the season ahead far outweighs the inadequacies that you may believe you have to succeed in them. Listen, if God has called you to do something great in 2022, don't doubt it. Don't second guess it. Don't fear that you don't have what it takes. We all have inadequacies that we bring along with our giftings, but we must know that there is something that God is calling the unique you to in 2022. And if we will simply focus on what we do have, focus on what we do have, on how God has uniquely created you and I and prepared us for this season over what we don't have, then we will see great, great things accomplished in this new year. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Two final questions as we close. First, am I dreaming dreams that will die with me? Am I dreaming dreams that will die with me, or am I willing to dream dreams that will see its fulfillment in the next generation at whatever cost? My own kids, my own grandkids, and yours, and the future generations are now, right now, generation, are you dreaming dreams, are we dreaming dreams that are going to die with ourselves, or are we dreaming dreams into the next and the now generation? Second question, what is my Isaac? What is my Isaac? What is it that I deeply love? What is it that I deeply cherish that's keeping me, that's keeping us from moving from good to great, or from great to greater, for me, for my church, for our very own kids and grandkids? What is my Isaac? And am I willing to put him on the altar and become an agent of God-sized dreams in 2022? What if? Well, maybe in these moments, the Lord has already helped you identify your Isaac. And we're just going to close in a word of prayer here. So just ask, every head bowed and every eye closed right now. And I would just ask you that the Lord to examine your heart, and maybe he's identified an Isaac that you need to place on the altar right now. And you're having a hard time imagining even releasing that Isaac. You've held so tightly to it. You've loved it as Abraham loved Isaac, and you can't even fathom putting that Isaac on the altar. But in an act of obedience, the Lord is asking you, put Isaac on the altar. And you know you're going to need the Lord's help. So if the Lord has even in this moment given you clarity what your Isaac might be that you would need to put on the altar to see the fulfillment of your dreams, just to ask you to just simply raise your hand quickly and just say two words, Lord, help. Lord, help. And finally, the Lord may have already dropped a what if dream in your heart and in your life. Maybe he's been preparing for the last few days or weeks or months for something he is calling you to do in 2022. Maybe even in these moments he's revealed something. But it's an overwhelming God-sized dream that you cannot accomplish on your own. If that's you, if you have a dream in your heart and in your mind, but you know you can't accomplish it on your own, I would encourage you to also just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Help us, Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? And let's just close in a word of prayer together. Lord, we thank you for a new day. We thank you for a new year, and that your mercies and your kindness are new every morning. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you, God, for new opportunities that you bring to us, God, as we look to you and as we trust in you completely. We thank you, God, for dreams, and we thank you for visions and plans that you put on our hearts, and not only that you put on our hearts, but you give us the supernatural ability to see them fulfilled and accomplished as we trust in you and as we lean into you, God. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for revealing our Isaacs to us. Maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow, maybe this week as we go into a week of prayer and fasting, that God, you will reveal those things in our lives that we need to lay down on the altar and surrender to you to see greater things accomplished in our lives and in our families and our church. Thank you, God, for giving us courage. Courage over fear, courage over doubt. And Lord, we trust you that as we look to you, that we will see amazing, amazing things accomplished in 2022. 22 for your glory and for your honor and for your kingdom. And we give you thanks for all that you're going to do in your great name. Everybody said amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.